Please turn with me to the second chapter of Ephesians. We have in the past two sessions worked our way through the first chapter and up to the 10th verse of the second chapter. In the first chapter, we discovered that God has given us every spiritual blessing there is in Christ. We, of course, have not fully comprehended the majesty and glory of the all spiritual blessings that dwell in us in Christ. But we do know that Paul, the writer of this book, by revelation, set a prayer in motion almost 2,000 years ago, thanking God that we would fully comprehend the height, the depth, and the expanse of the exceeding power that God has placed in us in Christ. I hereby claim God's promise that if any two agree believing that whatsoever we ask shall come to pass. I set myself in agreement with Paul and invite you to join in the agreement in believing that we will come to a full comprehension of all that we have in Christ in us. In the first few verses of the second chapter, we have learned that we are God's handiwork. Our pride is embarrassed to admit that we are not self-made at all. Our work, effort, and intelligence had nothing to do with our being in Christ, nor can our ignorance remove us because it is entirely by God's grace. We have utterly nothing to boast about apart from the love, mercy, and grace of God. So today we begin reading in the 11th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians. Paul calls on the Ephesian believers and us to remember where and what we were redeemed from. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. It is important to note here that Paul asked the Ephesians believers and us to remember that we were in time past Gentiles. How often we divide Christians into camps by label. Gentile Christians, Jewish Christians. And in our time, we hear about the Black Church, the Armenian Church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, and the Emerging Church, and. There is only one kind of believer in Jesus Christ. Redeemed, justified, forgiven, and birthed into God's family, believers. The divisions are all from a fleshly point of view. Galatians 3:28 says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female in Christ. Keep your finger in Ephesians, but flip back a few pages to Galatians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 22. I'll give you just a second to get there. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You see, all are under sin. Who is all referred to here? It's all who have not believed and received Christ. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Notice that. The law was, past tense, our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, We are no longer under a schoolmaster. Why are we no longer under the schoolmaster? Which is the law? Because we have received Christ and are now a new redeemed race. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was the father of the Israelites. Abraham died before the Jews came into being. Abraham is the father of many nations that are still fighting among themselves to this day. Abraham believed God, and God made his covenant of promise to Abraham. In Abraham, we inherit the promise of the blessings of Abraham. In Christ, we are birthed into a new race, a new family, with a new family tree. Our Father is God, and our joint heir and brother is Jesus Christ. We are no longer Gentiles. The Jew that becomes born again is no longer a Jew. All who have Christ in them become new. We will see as we read on that Jesus abolished the law of the commandments, was preached to both the Jews and the Gentiles, and made one new man or body from both. It is the body of Christ. If we truly saw one another as fellow heirs, and brothers and sisters, and sons and daughters of God's new family, the fear, hate, anger, and guilt would dissipate. Instead, we focus on the flesh and identify ourselves and divide ourselves by our past and fleshly associations. Our past is dead, gone, and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God is interested in what you believe right now and how your believing will affect your future. Now back to Ephesians. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I'm going to read that verse again. That's verse 14. For he, Jesus Christ, he is our peace, who hath made both one. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He has taken both and made them one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace. Now we just read in Galatians that we are no longer under the schoolmaster, and here it is said again, Jesus abolished the enmity. Enmity is the state of being enemies. So Jesus abolished the enmity, which was the laws and commandments. They are done away with, abolished. They are just history. For example, our country has a history of slavery. At great cost and conflict, slavery was abolished. It is history. If you decide to practice slavery in this country, you will be arrested and put in jail because it has been abolished and does not apply anymore. The same is true of the laws of Moses. We are a new man, a new race, free, not enslaved by Satan anymore. We have been redeemed, justified, and made to sit at the right hand of God in Christ. Now that's what I call making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Do you see it? We are the building. We are the temple where God lives in Christ in us. We are the replacement for buildings built with hands. We are God's workmanship. The Jews had the tabernacle, which over time was replaced by the temple with altars of sacrifice. In the communities further than a Sabbath day journey, there were synagogues, which were representations of a holy place for local Jews. The pagans had temples with sacrificial altars where animals and sometimes humans were offered to the devils that they worshipped. They also had holy places. In addition, they had mounts, shrines, statues, and images of the devils they worshipped. Neither of these groups of people are in the body of Christ. When we are called into the family of God, the body of Christ, we are no longer Jew or Gentile, but instead we have been born of God's seed and are part of a new race, the people of the mystery, the body of Christ. We are the building. We are the temple. We are the body. We are God's spiritual army, and we are God's grace and peace in action. The laws, tradition, and taboos of the Jews have been superseded by the freedom and liberty of Christ. The temple and sacrifices were made obsolete by the once-for-all sacrifice God offered up to himself in the death of Jesus, the Christ. At the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain protecting the Holy of Holies in the Jewish temple was miraculously torn from the top down to signify the end of the priesthood and the new open-door policy of God for all those who believe. When we understand our position in Christ, the futility of religion becomes very evident. In Christ, We are at the right hand of God at all times. With Christ in us, we are never apart or separated from Christ. There is no need to beg, cry, or summon God as the pagan, Jewish, and modern religious tradition was and is. The Jewish believers, just following the day of Pentecost, continued in the Jewish traditions. They continued going to the temple, sacrificing, doing the law. They continued in the belief that they had to stay separate from Gentiles. They were very exclusivist. They assumed that Christianity was an extension of the Jewish religion. This misunderstanding was universal among the Jewish Christians for several years as the numbers swelled as people believed in the Messiah, Jesus. The mystery, of course, had not been revealed yet. The first big shock to the Jewish church was Peter's experience with Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Cornelius was an unsaved Gentile that was praying to God when he was visited by an angel. An angel was required because Cornelius did not have Christ in him yet. Yet Peter, having Christ in him, had a revelatory vision in which he had direct communication with the risen Jesus Christ. The Jewish church accepted Cornelius and his household because they became proselytes and followed the same laws and traditions that the Jewish Christians did. It was not until Paul's revelation of the mystery that the freedom and liberty in Christ, the one body and the household of faith, was known. The idea that Gentiles and Jews alike were called out of their religious pageantry and taboos troubled and enraged the traditionalists. The traditionalists in the Jewish church and in the pagan religion fought hard to snuff out the freedom of those who were called under the teaching of Paul's mystery gospel. They were mostly successful because near the end of his life, Paul said that most everyone had turned away from him and his gospel. Yet, there have always been a few who understood the great freedom, liberty, and power that we have been called into. Over the first 3 centuries after the day of Pentecost, the law and tradition group spread across the Roman Empire. Around 300 AD, Constantine, the Roman emperor, combined the Christian religion with the various pagan religions to create a Roman-controlled religion. Of course, Constantine appointed himself as the head of the church. I don't think anything could be further from the simplicity of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hold and terror of the Roman Church is well documented in the history of Europe, the Middle East, and Asia Minor. The Roman Church has tortured and killed more Christians over the past 2 centuries than any other governing body. No group has spent more energy and financial resources to squelch the truth of God's Word. For hundreds of years, only the very elite were allowed access to the Bible. Christianity in the Middle Ages was a religion of fear, guilt, and duty. Failure to comply meant loss of property and usually death by burning or other horrible public torture. Fortunately, in much of the world, the physical torture has stopped, but the emotional pressure is still rampant. Even in the most benign of denominations, there are the unwritten and written laws, traditions, and peer pressure that keeps people under stress, fear, and guilt. If guilt and fear were removed, denominations would shrivel up and vanish like the Wicked Witch of the West when Dorothy splashed water on her. The great seminaries would have to discard their mitres and swagger. Without fear, guilt, and duty, the religion called Christianity could not survive. True Christianity, however, continues to thrive in the hearts of those who believe. Now I ask you, who is the father of guilt and fear? My Bible tells me that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. In the last session, we saw in verse 6 of the second chapter that it was God who made us to sit in Christ. It's not of our works, or fear, or guilt, or duty, or... It's just not of our works. In the unrenewed mind, we lack the vision to see and to comprehend our position and standing in the body of Christ. The unrenewed mind only sees the flesh and its selfishness. In the flesh, we want to jockey for position, impress others with our pseudo-holiness, and control one another. It's called religion. Religion began as Eve listened to the serpent and Adam sunk his teeth into the fruit. Religion is part of the cosmos, the world system, that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. It is a world-class deception to take our attention off the simplicity of Christ in us and us in Christ. Religion is the fleshly way of self-righteousness. Verse 22, in whom, in Christ, ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are God's spiritual house, the temple made without hands, the habitation or dwelling place in the Spirit. It is God in Christ in us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Give you a second to get there. That's the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.